Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the cyber gathering here. My name is Steve Wilhelm. I serve as a local Dharma leader for Seattle Insight Meditation Society, and I'm just welcoming you and introducing Devin and Craig. Some of you were there last night. You'll find that they're just a wonderfully alive teachers at tag team teaching and really relate to young people in particular, very current. So it's a real doorway into the Dharma in 2020. So a little bit about them. They've been teaching since 2011. They, relative to this currency, they also teach on the Simple Habit and 10% Happier apps, and they lead retreats through North America and Europe, which may mean online at this point, but physically in the past and will again. Devin teaches at Insight Meditation Society and Spirit Rock and mentors teachers for Jack Kornfield and Tara Brock's teacher training program. Craig spent 6 years at a Zen monastery and then did a doctorate in counseling, and then Lo decided to teach Dharma full time. But it all weaves together, and they've studied with Joseph Goldstein, Tara Brach, Mingyur Rinpoche, and others in the Insight, Zen, and Vajrayana tradition. So they tap a lot of sources. These days, they live together in Ashland, Oregon, which is where Devin is from. And they split their time between practice and reaching out to folks like us. And they wrote a great book, How Not to Be a Hot Mess, A Survival Guide for Modern Life, which they'll probably refer to. She's even picking it up. There you go. I looked it up on Amazon. I looked up how to be a higher. I looked up hot mess book, and poof, that was came up. So easy to find. Anyway, very happy to be here with you all, and happy to welcome Devin and Craig. And I will now back out. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Steve. Really, just such a joy to see all of you. Many of you back from last night. So if you want to put your computer on gallery view just for a minute, and we did this, I know, but there's a sense of community, you know, really looking and taking each other in. If you want to turn your video on, you're welcome to. And just see, we've got some other four-leggeds joining us this morning, dogs and cats who might make an appearance. So welcoming the entire Sangha here. Here we are together. And I'm finding during this time of isolation, it just is so important to feel that sense of collective practice, knowing that we are all here practicing together in a really profound way. You know, we can find our refuge here in each other. So thank you so much for being here. It's really nice to see. It's like we just created some momentum last night, and welcome to those who are joining just today. Craig and I are just so looking forward to being with you. All right, I'm getting a message that my sound is a little funky, so I'm gonna take just a moment and switch up the headphones. Hang on just a minute. Is anybody else hearing that click? Oh, okay. I got some thumbs up. Thumbs up if the sound is good. Oh, okay. Okay, how's that? Great, better. Okay, so let's just do a drop in. We'll do a short meditation, and of course, up to you if you want to lie down. Just find whatever comfortable posture your body is asking for just this morning. You could even be standing up. Want to stand? Maybe taking a deep breath or two. Really inviting the breath to calm the body. And as you exhale, you might notice if there's extra tension in your body that you can breathe out. And also maybe any extra tension in the mind.
one of our good millennial friends, she's often reminding us not to be so extra. So this drop-in is kind of letting go of anything extra. And then finding what's here. And you start to settle, just be very simple. Nothing really special to do. Just a kind of coming home. And you might also notice if there's a little bit of momentum even from our practice together last night, maybe from your evening and your morning, a little bit of sense of setting aside this time and feeling the sacredness of these intentions to practice together, to carve out this day. Maybe just tapping into those intentions, these qualities we want to cultivate. Maybe it's a sense of connection or more peace and ease in the mind. Maybe a kind of radical presence or clarity about what matters to us and how we know that we're on track. So we're deliberately setting our compass here. It can be kind of a powerful act to know what we're doing and why. So just the invitation to feel your body be inclining towards an intention, an aspiration, maybe even your deepest longing. So whatever comes, maybe it's a felt sense, maybe it's an image, or if you're inclined towards the more traditional sense of bodhicitta, we might together just intend to practice for our own welfare and also for the welfare of all beings. So that through this time together, the welfare and benefit of all is held here in our collective and our Sangha. Maybe sensing into that kind of mystical, magical web, a sense of participating in the bigger scheme. These little pixelated dots of us sitting in our living rooms at home or our backyards, knowing that this has an effect, this makes a difference, this is important. So through our practice together today, may all beings wake up to their own goodness. May they wake up to these internalized and externalized systems of power. May we learn how to speak and act skillfully. May we tune into the sense that we all belong to each other, so that we can cultivate these qualities of love and connection. So feeling your aspirations land in your body. And then as you're ready, maybe another deep breath. And just feeling the sense of momentum even as you might open your eyes or move around a bit. that we're transitioning all day in and out of formal and informal practice, but we can sense this awareness that holds it all. We can continue to feel the body even in these different forms. So thank you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you. I am delighted to be here. I was super pissy, like earlier. Oh my goodness. You know, early in the morning, all these projects, trying to do projects around the house, and oh my God, we have to teach and there's not enough time for everything. And now we're here. So lucky, actually. I was talking to a friend yesterday, or maybe it was Thursday, who's also a Dharma practitioner, also a Dharma teacher. And we've been friends for a long time. What? Since 1995. No, six. 1996, we've been friends. And kind of found the Dharma together long, long ago. And we were talking and he was saying, what is the Dharma now for you? And it's interesting, you know, Devin and I seem to be rather immersed in Dharma practice. We've organized our entire lives around Dharma practice, and we're in semi-retreat. We're in semi-retreat 9 months of the year these days, where semi-retreat means like try to practice 5 or 6 hours a day. I don't do any socializing really. And then work in the afternoons and then teach. Of course, that's the ideal. Then we fall away from it and have all kinds of troubles and struggles and life and oh my goodness, and then get back on track. And then we spend 3 months a year in cloistered retreat where we actually go into a cabin and then just stay there. So it's like, yeah, okay. We've made Dharma the center of our lives, or our Dharma's all around us. And the funny thing is, I have no idea what the Dharma is. You know, I was talking to my friend Carter, and I used to be really into textual study. You know, I've done a lot of, my goodness, so much reading and memorizing and lists, and I've loved that for many, many years, and many teachers, spending a lot of time with teachers, was a monk, you know, lived in a Zen monastery for 6 years. And when Carter was asking me, well, what is the Dharma for you now? To me, it's those things, it's the structure, and it's the teachings of the Buddha, and it is the textual tradition, and it is the relationship with teachers, it's all those things. But for me, now the way it feels, it's the live wire of authenticity. That's what the Dharma is. That's a phrase that our teacher Lama Drupchu used a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, that's what the Dharma is to me. It's the live wire of authenticity. Just this presencing, we're alive together. You are alive now. You have a living nervous system. Like Devin led us through this drop-in, this short meditation. You have a column of awareness that is your subjective experience of your nervous system. This is aliveness. And there are there are all of these obstacles or these blocks to that aliveness. And those are external and those are internal, and those are internal and external. What are the blocks? I mean, the blocks, I think, are the way that we introject harmful messages from our culture. Our culture has gone officially insane. I'm a psychologist. That's a diagnosis. So very technical. But it's always been, you know, this white supremacist culture. All of us living and breathing white supremacy. Harmful to people that have pigmentations of skin that are a little darker, that don't racialize as white. Harmful also to those of us who are racialized by the culture as white. Stories around gender, stories around sexuality, stories about who's in and who's out. All of these ways are, we're impacted, we're interjected, we're internalizing all of this. Oh, it's painful. You start to unpack it. And it's all layering on the nervous system. And we don't really see it. We don't really feel it because it's the water we're swimming in, but it's kind of layering on the nervous system. And then those are all impersonal blocks and obstacles to the way that this fullness of the raw, the live wire of authenticity, the way we're interrupting it for ourselves, and has to do more with our personal stories and our family histories, our individual development, our the ways that we're gripping and clinging. I mean, the Buddha talked about the contraction, the thirst that keeps us bound. So for me, that's where the Dharma is really alive. Just this sense of we're here. It's a miracle. It's a miracle to be alive, to be here, and to be alive together in a community that actually wants to pause long enough to look, to feel, and is courageous enough to look and to feel. Because what we find is it's not always comfortable. I find a lot of heartbreak. I find a lot of difficulty, pain. But I also find release. In practicing together, I find this release and this profound wakefulness that is at the center of our experience, that we can come closer and closer into contact with. And so I just want to welcome you into this space. I want to welcome you into this space of inquiry, this space of dialogue, and maybe the space of not even quite knowing what the Dharma is. Even as we use the tools that the Dharma provides, we use the lenses that the Dharma provides to deepen our own collective experience, and even move into states that feel like awakening together. Yeah. Also, maybe just want to acknowledge ancestry. Devin did this last night, but it's important. Ancestry of the lineage. You know, Devin and I have these teachers that we really love. We really, it's just so much goodness has come down to us from our teachers. And this is in the Vipassana lineage, early Buddhist lineage, primarily through Joseph Goldstein, but also Sharon, Salzburg, Dara, Williams, Tanissara, all these influences for us. And then the Vajrayana, so-called Tibetan tradition, Minja Rinpoche, Tsokne Rinpoche, so many Rinpoches, Lama Drupchu, Lama Pema, Lama Yeshe, all these influences. And for you, you know, this is a moment where you could think of your teachers. Think of just what you have received, this living ancestry, this Dharma. And if you've gotten close with any of your teachers, you'll know, you know, kind of human. Can get kind of complicated. But in moments like these, it's good to tap into like the simultaneous purity, you know, the way that the Dharma still managed to come down to us and through us, despite our limitations. And also your own personal ancestry, your parents, your grandparents, uncles, aunties, all the ones who came before, all the wisdom of your personal lineage. And again, okay, sure, families are complicated. But what about like the wisdom of your family lineage? And then Devin mentioned yesterday that just acknowledging the stewards of the land, you know, those who came before us. Maybe there might be some of us who have indigenous roots here, you know, who have Native American roots. And a lot of us were settler culture. So just acknowledging those who came before, and also acknowledging the pain of that, the all living on unceded territory. So a lot of what Dev and I like to talk about is the fullness, the wisdom, the compassion, the trauma, the difficulty seems to all be part of this experience of being alive together and of coming alive together, of waking up together to what is here. So we're going to do a little bit of a guided contemplation. Devin, did you want to add anything? Oh, I forgot to talk about the schedule. That is not my strength. I get really into like, you know, the heart stuff, and then I forget that people actually want to know when they're having lunch. So we're having lunch at noon. Devin, did you want to add anything?
There's a whole history to that that just happened there. You can read about it in our book. Made some people pretty mad when he just disregarded the schedule at his end. But see, he's gotten so much better now. He told you what time lunch is. We're going to be doing a whole variety of things today, mostly practice, all practice, really. We'll be rotating through actually some breakout rooms this morning, and then we'll go into silence and be rotating between stillness practice and movement practice, which will be somewhat guided, also lightly, very lightly on your own. We'll have about an hour long break for lunch, which is also mindful eating and any kind of mindful movement or resting you want to do. Mm-hmm. In the afternoon will be kind of a similar sitting, walking, rotating, and then we'll come out with some breakout rooms and some discussion at the end. So kind of work through this arc together. And one thing you'll, oh, thank you, Cheryl, so much. The schedule's posted there. One thing you'll learn about us is that while we tend to give titles and themes to these events, like we chose this title and theme many months ago, I think it's called See the Good for this day long. We sort of tend to teach about what's ever alive in the moment for us. So we might touch on See the Good. There's a whole part of that in our book, but we're really wanting to sort of speak to the moment and offer what's relevant in our own hearts and minds and invite you to do the same. So we'll see where we go and what this day brings out in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to say one more thing, maybe related to lineage or to inspiration of those who have come before. Just listening to a podcast on my run this morning about John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis. Mm-hmm. And whew, the more I learn about him, the more inspired, like such a modern day bodhisattva. And he was talking about what he learned from Dr. King and some mm-hmm. of the principles they taught and learned together in the nonviolent, in this movement of like nonviolent protest. And just this radical reminder, we hear this a lot about bodhicitta and in the Dharma, you know, about loving kindness and compassion. But somehow just hear it again this morning from his voice, where he was saying, you know, you just love people. You just love them. Like regardless of what they're doing to you, you know, there's all this training about how to kind of curl up and protect your sensitive parts if you get beaten or arrested, and just this real sense of fiery compassion, like, and you just love them anyway, you know. Gandhi had that, Dr. King, John Lewis. It's just so inspiring. I felt my heart be like, oh yeah, I kind of forgot for a minute. Because sometimes I feel like I don't actually like people that much when I read the news. But just this really bedrock sense of like, let's just love people, you know, and that includes us. So in some ways, I sort of want to name that as my aspiration that we're cultivating here, this heart, the strength of heart, the courage of heart that can just, regardless, just love people. Love our teachers who are completely fallible and human, and love each other because we tend to mess up often. You know, it's really, this is the practice, I think, is being willing to see all of the neurotic tendencies in our own hearts and minds and love ourselves anyway. And then that goes for everybody. Nobody left out. So
yeah,
I think that's kind of what we're doing here. Yeah. Go John Lewis. We love him.
Yeah. Thank you. So now that Cheryl has posted the schedule, I'll say, I think Devin and I actually kind of changed a few things. So don't get too attached to the schedule that's up there. But lunch is at noon. So that's the most important thing. And maybe we could start, let's do a little contemplation together. Devin did something a little bit like this last night. And we'll do a little bit contemplation. I think of this sometimes as orienting ourselves. Orienting ourselves with our intentions, to our intentions. And like Devin said, if you're somebody who likes to take notes, feel free to have a notebook handy or a piece of paper. If you want to jot down what comes up for you, that's welcome. There's no pressure to do that. If you're not somebody who likes to write down, you don't have to. And maybe allow your eyes to close and find yourself here. You know, let your body settle into your chair, couch, cushion, as you allow your mind to settle into your body. And in particular, allow your attention, your awareness to begin to gather in your heart. So feel your heart. And I'll just drop in a few questions. just like Devin said last night, you don't have to answer these questions in a specific way. You know, there's nothing in particular that you need to come up with here. It's not, you won't be graded. There's no quiz. It's more like let these questions drop in to your heart and see what comes alive for you. And just be aware. Just notice what comes alive. So the first question is just like last night. What matters to you? And if you were here, you might notice, does it feel the same this morning? Is it different? What matters? What matters to you? Kind of let that knock around lightly, gently. Don't get too serious. The second question. What qualities are present for you when you are most relaxed? This is just a big feel in your heart, you know. Maybe you can name them. Maybe it's just a sense of them, a felt sense, somatic. What qualities are present for you when you are most relaxed? And a third question. What advice would a good friend have for you for today? Like a good, wise friend. What advice would a wise friend give you for your practice for this day long? And then you can let go of the questions, let go of any effort that you're making, and just drop again into your felt sense of your heart. It's like a coming home, re-inhabiting this living body. And just hang out here for a few moments. Maybe let's take a couple of good deep breaths. You could open your eyes and look around your room. Maybe pick an object that you see every day, but you don't really notice. Like I'm looking at the strings of my blind. And take it in. You know, just allow your eyes to really rest on something. as if you've never seen it before, almost like you don't even know what it is. And let the world presence for you. Okay, so we're going to do some speaking and listening practice now. Otherwise known as breakout rooms. And even as I say these words, you might register for yourself. What is your body feeling? Right? Like, depending on my mood, I might feel curious, like a kind of upliftedness. I might feel dread. I might feel annoyed, closed off. And just to say, it's all welcome, right? You don't need to be someone. You don't need to be having an experience that you're not having. Just like alive. What's alive as we move our way into the breakout rooms? And as you move into these conversations with others, can you stay with, can you like have a warm awareness of your bodily experience, even as you're speaking, even as you're listening? So sometimes we say it's like you keep 50% of your experience on your own body, and then 50% of your experience is on what you're saying and what other people are saying and that interaction that's happening. You really stay with your body, even as you move in to these conversations. So Devin, did you want to talk a little bit about the breakout rooms?
Yeah, absolutely. Just naming, like, notice how your body feels even now. Maybe there's some anticipation, maybe there's some resistance. I want to say also, this is optional. So if anyone isn't feeling it, you can just stay right here in the main room and we'll just be here practicing quietly. So that's totally an option. We're going to have groups of three or four. And as Craig is saying, inviting you into your bodies and then just an awareness around your speech. So maybe we could make the agreement that whatever is shared here is confidential. So, you know, often it's like you can take the learnings, but maybe leave the names aside. Just knowing that what's shared here is in a confidential space, being aware about how much space you're taking up in that room. You know, if you're one that tends to sit back a little bit, maybe leaning in and sharing, or if you're one that tends to get really eager about sharing, maybe sitting back a bit. So all of this is really a practice around speaking and listening. And maybe we'll talk about this a bit more, why speech is such an important part of practice now, especially, but always. How are we using our voices, our words, to live in alignment, on track with what matters to us, with our sense of value? So really being mindful, just as we bring the same kind of effort in our silent practice, bringing that same kind of effort into your group. And can you sort of be in your heart and notice, like, yep, people are people, and notice, right, there's all the mess there. We're all here being somewhat vulnerable, present with each other. And can there be that same sense of, like, loving everybody anyway? I mean, myself in this mess, loving everybody else in it, we're just doing our best. So with that said.
Well, with that said, did you want to know what you were talking about? Because that seems like
kind of important.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But there's these prompts.
In some ways, it's like the process is actually the more important part than the content. It's true. Talk about anything. What did you have for breakfast? But yeah, so it's a little bit like what we did last night. We'll just be sharing from what came up, you know, in this exercise that Craig just led. Answers to these questions, were they different? Were they the same from last night? Any new discoveries, anything that was surprising? And you, if you know each other, I know a lot of you might already know each other. You're welcome to chat a bit or get to know each other, you know, names and things.